Hey guys, welcome to the Listen Bitch podcast with your host, Brandon Lynette. I'm super excited because we have another guest. All this time I've been promising that you guys aren't going to have to listen to just me forever, and here we are. So I brought someone on today. I asked people when I was looking for guests to bring on the podcast what they could speak about passionately and unprepared for in 30 minutes, and he chose resilience. That word stood out to me. So that's kind of going to be what we're going to talk about here. I'm going to introduce you guys to Richard, the comeback coach Kaufman. I like that. We're all just pretty much meeting for the first time, you guys. So I'm going to turn it over to him and let him just kind of tell his story, his background, and we'll start there. Richard, that's on you, buddy.
Thank you for having me on your show, guys. Thank you so much for tuning in. My name is Richard Kaufman, also known as the Comeback Coach. Guys, I'm nothing special. I'm just a junkie who got lucky. I'm just a guy that knows a guy. And now I'm known as the guy that went from dope dealer to hope dealer. So I'm a recovering addict, 35 years clean and sober.
Congrats.
Had a lot of shit go on in my life. Addiction, alcoholism, homelessness, PTSD, blindness, jail. I've kind of done it all. And for me, my goal is for anybody listening to this show to let them know that your past does not dictate your future. So if you've been through a lot of shit, it's only because God let you go through that shit so you can help somebody else get out of that shit. So, and I've been in the military for 30 years or 23 years. I've two-time top-selling author, top 0.5% podcaster, but I'm only a ninth grade dropout and I don't have any formal education. So if anybody would say I'd be able to be on shows like this, or to have my new book being actually put out by Mr. John Lee Dumas, who would ever thought that a ninth grade dropout would be able to do that? So my point is just whatever happened in your past, just leave it there and then move the hell on.
Yeah, I could see where resilience is your passion, because I think obviously that was your second nature for a long time. So what, because I feel like you said luck, you got lucky.
Yeah.
And I happen to write a book that is called Fuck Luck Bitches, because I feel like the harder you work, the luckier you get, right? Opportunity meets the person who's willing to stand up. So there's some power in a choice that you made. Part of what I've taught my audience is I don't believe in sitting back and waiting for things to happen. So my question to you is, you're in the thick of it. You're in the arena. You're getting your ass kicked. You're addicted to drugs. You're addicted to alcohol. Shit's falling apart. Whatever happened. So what was the catalyst in your comeback? Because there's no way that, you know, you just got lucky. You had to make some choices to make some changes. So take us there, Richard.
Okay, well, there was three different things I have in my life. And whenever I end my show, I always say that we all have a choice to be the victim or the victor. We get to decide.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what you're talking about. But my three wake come to Jesus moments were, one, I almost went to jail for 5 years for grand larceny. And the guy that I robbed was actually a police officer, which was stupid.
Oh my God.
But he gave me a choice. He said, you can either go to jail for 5 years or you can go to AA tomorrow morning and you got to hit 90 meetings in 90 days. I hit 300 meetings in a row and I haven't had a drink since 1989. I quit drinking at 20 before people, most people were legally
even starting. Yeah. Yeah.
So that was the first time. And then the second time was 9/11, because actually where I'm sitting, if I go sit on my porch, like me and my bride, we were sitting on the porch just hanging out today. I'm actually sitting in it where the Twin Towers once stood.
Oh, wow.
And we knew people that were in the towers that day.
Yeah.
So that morning of 9/11 totally changed my whole world and changed my life. And then the last thing that And that was a decision I made that day. Today, that day, I decided that the same guy that woke up on September 11th was not the same guy that went to bed at September 11th. I was two totally different people. And then the last thing was, I got medically discharged from the military after losing my vision. And that was Labor Day 2012. And that was the day that I attempted suicide. And my 6-month-old daughter saved my life.
Wow.
So those are the three things in my life where, like you said, you have to make a decision. But just because you make a decision, you have to take action. Because, you know, action, I think, was a faith without works is dead.
Yeah.
So I think, if you know, you can decide all you want. But if, you know, I could read every book about doing a push-up, but it's not going to help me unless I get down and do the push-up.
If you don't do it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that. How much can we get personal on your suicide attempt? Because I know this, you know, we don't need to sugarcoat it. I think it's something that people think about more than they talk about. You know, I've thought about it. I've, you know, as a kid attempted it. I think it's a conversation that we need to make, not taboo, something that we should bring out in the open. Did this change your perspective on life and living in general?
Yeah. And we can get down into the weeds as much as we want, because I actually wrote a book about it. So I got no shame in my game. This is my 11th. I've done 1,100 interviews by myself, and I've been on 300 shows. So I'm always willing to be open and honest, because I'm not worried about helping the millions.
There's one person out there, Richard.
I'm worried about your one listener that's saying, you know what? I'm struggling right now.
Yeah.
And I need hope. So if we could talk to that one person, then everything we talk about today, that's what it's all about.
Exactly. Let's do that, Richard. Take this one person to the depths and let's go there.
Well, what happened was, after 23 years in the military, and I got thrown out the first time for being a drug addict.
Okay.
And got back in and was due to be thrown out again, just for being an asshole. But after 9/11, my whole world changed. My whole mindset changed. And they decided to keep me. And within 3 years, I went from worst soldier to the first soldier. I went from, you know, worst to first, soldier of the year, officer, and all that good stuff. But then after getting hurt on duty, spending 23 years trying to be the ultimate soldier, now that I've been given another chance to lose my vision, you know, I was 80% blind. And I said, I got to wear these stupid glasses because I'm still 60% blind, but I think I do more than most able-bodied people do.
Oh yeah.
But the reason why I attempted suicide that day and is because no matter what you do, whatever your job is, a lot of times it becomes who you are. Whether you're a podcast host, I got friends. I ask, you know, who are you? Oh, I'm a tattoo artist. You know, whatever you do. A lot of people, that's who they are.
Yeah.
And when they finally said, well, you're no longer Sergeant Kaufman. Well, I don't know who Richard is, because there is no Richard. It's just Sergeant Kaufman 24/7. Right. And now I got to figure out, wait a minute, who's Richard? You know, even though I'm married to my bride, I love my bride. Did together 40 years, love my bride. We got 3 beautiful children, but I didn't know who I was.
Yeah.
I had no identity. And it scared me because I felt, you know, I have no vision now. I don't have money coming in. I can't even wipe my own ass. Honestly, I can't cook for myself. And I felt totally useless.
Yep.
So I decided that, you know, because in the military, if you die on duty, your family gets a couple $100,000.
Yeah.
So I figured if I can't take care of my family one way, if I take myself out, then they'll be taken care of. So I called my wife, and we're supposed to meet her down the shore. I'm from Jersey, so we're going to meet at the Jersey shore. And I called her and I said, you know, I'm on my way. We're supposed to go to the shore and hang out with the kids. But it's weird when you talk to somebody and you know you're never going to hear their voice again.
Yeah.
And I had two young boys and I had a 6-month-old daughter, and I knew I'd never see their face again.
Oh.
And I called my wife and I said, I love you with all my heart. I'm on my way. But I already knew. I already made the plan. Now, like Mike Tyson says, you know, Mike Tyson's fighting Jake Paul of Prime coming up. So, and but he talks about how everybody has a plan until you get punched in the mouth.
Yeah.
And I got punched in the mouth. My plan was, because in New Jersey, if you get on the highways, there's concrete pylons everywhere on the highways.
Okay.
So my plan was, if I get in my truck and hit 100 miles an hour, put the radio on and put the truck on cruise, close my eyes. Eventually, I'm going to run off the wall, road into a pylon, doing 100 miles an hour. So I got into the truck. I got 100 miles an hour. I put the radio on, closed my eyes. Now, I'm a heavy metal guy. I'm a rock guy. I'm a five-finger death punch. I'm that kind of guy. But there was country music on the radio, and I'm like, great, I'm going to die to country
music.
This is
driving you to the pylon for sure.
Yeah. But I'm listening to it. I shut my eyes, and I could feel the truck move. I could feel it moving. And, you know, on the side of the road, you see the reflectors. They're little yellow reflectors.
Yeah.
And you could feel, well, okay, I'm about to go off the road.
Yeah.
So I knew I was like 3 seconds from death. And as I'm listening to this country music song, it was a song by George Strait. It was called I Saw God Today. And it was about a man who was seeing his newborn baby girl for the first time.
Oh.
And it destroyed me because I can remember.
You got a
like
baby.
Me, I'm the first. Yeah, and I'm the first one that ever changed her diaper. I'm the first one that ever fed her. I made every doctor's appointment. I've never missed anything, even school. I've never missed anything. And when I heard the song and I broke down and I cried, I'm like, I can either be a dad, a husband, or I can be a statistic.
Yeah.
And at that moment is when I when I made that decision. Well, I don't want to be that. I don't want to be dead. And it wasn't for me. It's because I want to walk I was there from when my daughter was born, and I'm the first man that's going to love her for her whole life.
Yeah.
And that's when I decided, all right, I need help. So I jerked the wheel over. Thank God there was nobody here. And I pulled over and I called my wife and I told her what happened. She was pissed the fuck off. Oh, my
God. I'm sure she wanted to kill you.
Literally, but I said, honey, I said, if I don't get help, I'm probably going to eat my gun this weekend.
Yeah.
And she said, honey, sorry. She said, I got you. I got your back. Just make it through this weekend and Tuesday we'll check you into the VA. And that was the first day that I actually went to therapy.
Wow.
And I've been seeing the same therapist for 12 years.
Okay.
So that whole changed my whole life. That moment, those three moments are what changed my lives in different areas. Because a lot of us, we have those moments, but we just don't act upon those moments. We just let them fly by. You know, we just let them go by. So, like I said, if it wasn't for that police officer, if it wasn't for my first sergeant or 9/11, if it wasn't for 9/11, it wasn't for my first sergeant, and if it wasn't for my daughter and my bride and my kids, I wouldn't be here today. So, guys, if you hear a still small voice, listen. Don't drown it out.
Yeah, cheers to that. And I feel like, I mean, not to get off topic or squirrel out on this podcast, because it's, you know, I don't make this a political platform, but there's a lot of people right now, if you look at statistics, suicide, to like, if you look at everything with the way the economy has gone, people are struggling. Families are struggling. People are becoming homeless. And this is exactly what men are thinking. It's, they can't provide for their family. They feel like the best thing they could do is go. There's insurance money. There's whatever. This is really happening all around us. And it's terrifying. It's terrifying when, you know, at the end of the day, we're talking about money. And money doesn't matter. Your life is, you can't put a dollar amount on what you mean. And you were about to be the guy that was going to break your daughter's heart for the first time, you know, the first person to devastate her. Now you get a chance to be, you know, to show her what resilience is.
But I also have friends, and that's why I love the name of the show, this podcast. I also have friends be like, hey, don't be a bitch.
Don't be a bitch.
You know, step up. Don't, you know, step up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, make sure let become 100% accountable. Nobody's coming to save you guys. I don't care who you are. There's nobody coming to save you. But you have to step out into your power and say, listen, I'm struggling here. I'm going to find somebody that can help me. And a lot of guys are afraid to step out and say, hey, you know, I'm struggling. Where me, hey, if you're a friend of mine, if I'm having a bad day, I'm going to put on my Facebook, my Instagram. Hey, guys, I'm struggling today.
Yeah.
So people know, hey, I'm struggling. Rich is struggling. Let's struggle together.
Yeah.
And you're not going to want to take yourself out once you realize we're all going through the same shit. You know,
everybody's getting their ass kicked.
Whether you're the CEO or the janitor, we're all dealing with the same. But we also are living in the best of times.
Yeah.
And something that I learned taking courses from, you know, Gary Vee, Tony Robbins, Ed Milet, John Lee Dumas, that we're going to find what we look for.
Because we have the
receptor activating system in the brain.
Yeah.
We're going to find what we're looking for. If you're looking at success, positivity, health, you're going to find it.
Always.
If you're going to look at depression, being poor, guess what you're going to find? So it's what you're looking for. It's just like your Facebook feed. Whatever you click on is what you're going to see more of.
It's the algorithm of life, right? Like you you think about it, you're going to bring about it. And Gary Vee is definitely, he's a catalyst in my change because he, you know, this whole time I'm just a victim of my own shit. I've imprisoned myself. And he said, I heard him say one day, get the fuck over yourself. You know, get the fuck over yourself. Who are you to think that all of this should just be right there for you, that you don't have to put in work, that you don't have to train to be able to get into the arena? Like, you know, so he's a big, he was influential in me making the change in my own life. So I love that he is a mentor for you.
My whole podcast, my book, The Comeback Coach, it all came from a lunch I had with Gary Vaynerchuk.
Nice.
So he's the catalyst for everything that I do. So
tell us about your podcast and your books. And before we're done here, I want to make sure when we finish up, you send me all your links so that everybody, you guys can see that his links are linked with this episode. So you could just click on whatever we're talking about here, but tell us about your books, your podcast.
Well, my first book is called Hero's Journey from Darkness to Light. It's my story. But it's also at the end of every chapter, it tells you what not to do, because I did everything that you're not supposed to do. So it's a teaching book, but the last two chapters are, what does addiction really look like? It's not what you think it looks like. And what does depression and suicide look like? It's not what you think it looks like. So it's actually a teaching book. But the best part is I make $0 off everything. I'm actually giving the book away to everybody.
Wow.
Because if I can save one life,
right,
then it's all worth it. So I don't make any money off of the book. So if anybody out there wants the book, just get the contact, give me your email, shoot it right to your email box, and it won't cost you anything. And if you guys are struggling in life or business, if you mention this show, you get an hour of my time for free. No
what?
Strings attached.
Wow.
Just hang out on Zoom, hang out on Facebook Messenger. And if you're dealing with anything physically, mentally, spiritually, financially, we'll go over it for an hour. No cost, no strings attached.
That's amazing and very generous. You guys definitely take advantage of that. Richard, I love what you stand for. I think your work is amazing. What about your podcast? Where can we find that?
Well, the podcast is called Vertical Momentum. It's in the top 0.5% of all podcasts in the world. Has some amazing, and it's all because of my amazing guests. It's not because of me, obviously. I got a new book. It's about a new book's about to drop. John Lee Dumas is actually promoting it, and he actually wrote the whole back cover about it. And it's going to teach you how to, if you're a podcaster, I teach you personally how to go from thought to profit in 8 weeks. And you can either get the book or you can work with me personally coaching for 8 weeks. And I've been personally taught by John Lee Dumas, Gary Vaynerchuk. And I'm just teaching everybody what I've been taught. I'm always standing on the shoulders of giants. So I'm just teaching people. Well, because, you know, a lot of people, like for me, I've spent over $60,000 and over 10,000 hours studying how to become a top podcaster.
Yeah.
So if I could break it down in for 8 weeks and get you from point A to point B, then it's worth it. So, and the book will be out probably in a couple of weeks. We're on every social media platform. I think we're on 35 different platforms. We've had over 2 million downloads.
Wow.
And like I said, it's not because of me. It's because of my guests. And I don't have friends. I mean, I don't have followers. I don't have subscribers. I just have friends. So everybody I meet's a friend. So that's why I'm so blessed that it's all because of everybody else. It's not because of what I do. Because I don't do anything special. I'm just a guy that knows a guy.
Yep. I love that. I love that. And it's so funny because now, if you guys are listening and, you know, you listen to me talk shit about finding a hobby or a passion or doing something and podcasting is what you want to do, now you know, don't do what I do. We want to follow Richard because he knows what he's doing. I'm just winging it. Okay. So we want to follow the professional. A lot to learn from him. If you want to start, he's definitely the guy to follow. I know I'll be watching to see what I can learn because here we are. Like 300 episodes.
And you
deep.
also get a free hour and hang out, whatever you want to talk about, whether it's monetization, whether it's getting high profile guests like the authors of Rich Dad, Poor Dad, or Millionaires and Billionaires. So whatever you're struggling with, we'll hop on a Zoom and bullshit and figure it out.
That's awesome. Hell yeah, Richard. Thanks for coming on today because this is exciting. I definitely am excited to make the connection. I guess this is one of those moments where luck is meeting opportunity, right? Because I'm someone who is very passionate about this, but I don't know a guy. I'm just out here trying to meet the guy, you know, trying to see how I can help other people across the camera from me today. That was my full intention on looking for guests. I want people to put their passion out there. I want my audience to have other relatable stories that can help them step into the power and the potential of who they can be. That's it. That's where we start. It's just, if you can just imagine for a second at your greatest potential, who you are and the impact that you can have, then that's the beginning of your comeback, right?
Yeah. And I believe that everybody has a comeback story in them. Nobody would ever watch Rocky II if Rocky I didn't have a comeback. You know, Right. Nobody ever, everybody, at least I do, I root for the underdog. I always root for the underdog. So everybody loves a comeback story. And guys, if you're listening to this, you're next.
Yeah. Tell me about a time that you failed through something.
We don't have 8 hours, so. and I tell
Is there a short version?
Yeah, I mean, I failed at marriage. I'm on my third marriage. I've had two practice marriages. I finally got it right. I finally have my angel, so I'm not going to mess it up. I've been bankrupt. I've lost businesses. I've lost my vision. So I believe that if you're going to fail big, go big and fail, but just fail forward. And, you know, once you realize, you know, that failure is an event, it's not a person. So once you realize, okay, you know, I may have failed at this, but if I'm failing forward, then it's all worth it. Because I just talked to somebody, a billionaire. We were having lunch, we were talking, and he says most billionaires have been bankrupt at least twice.
At least.
So, you know, was it a failure or was it a lesson?
Lesson, right?
It all depends on, you know, like Mr. Ed Milet told me when we were on the phone, he said, you know, Rich, nothing happens to you. It all happens for you.
For you.
And everything is a teachable moment. So you either take it as a loss or a lesson. That's up to you.
Well, I just want to say you just touched on a lot of excuses that people have, okay? The bankrupts, the money issues, losing your eyesight, divorce, like everything that people are saying is the reason they can't move forward are things that you moved through with resilience. So what is your advice right now? Someone that is just, you know, heavy on the excuses, they feel like the world is out to get them and you know, they're being attacked and they're a victim and nothing ever goes right for them. Like, what would you say to them right now, to that person?
Don't be a bitch. That would be the first thing. But also, like one of the great poets and musicians, Jim Morrison, said, nobody gets out of here alive. And the average person lives to 78 years old. So I'm 55. I got 23 years left. So guys, do it. No matter what your goal is, if, as long as it's a big, hairy goal, go for it. I mean, because nobody gets out of here alive. So why not go for it all? Go for the gusto. As long as you're doing the right thing, being right by people, taking care of people, trying to be as moral as you can, you're going to succeed because most people don't want to try. So if you're that one person that's going to put 100% to something, you're going to succeed. It might take a while. You know, it's been 6 years to become an overnight success for us. But if you just, you know, put your nose at a grindstone, you know, keep pushing forward and putting, you know, when everybody else is binge watching, whatever, if you're not, because like Gary told me, you know, you're 9 to 5 pays your bills, you're 10 to 2 build your legacy. So if you put in the hours and to build in the reps, you're going to be successful. So don't be a bitch and just do it.
Just do it.
Like Nike
what is
said,
your
do it.
Yeah. Get the fuck over yourself, right?
Yeah, exactly. Over yourself. You're not that important, guys. We're not that important.
Exactly.
Like everybody says, well, you know, you're an influence. I'm like, no, I'm not an influence. I'm like, when I get out of here, I'm going to go upstairs and I got to take my dog outside and I'm going to be walking behind her, picking up her shit. So
I'm about to clean litter boxes. Okay.
It's like, I'm not that important. And once you stop taking yourself so seriously, you can start living a much better life.
I think that perspective that, you know, people from the outside looking and people that are just kind of staying stuck in their excuses and not taking that chance, they look at people that are succeeding as like untouchable. You know, I remember my husband and I were just talking about this last night. We went to an event and there were some girls whispering and pointing at me. And he's like, I think they're talking about you. And one of the girls finally comes up and she's like, oh my God, it's you, Brandon. And I'm like, yeah, I'm the same as you. Like, we're people. I wrote a book. I've hit Amazon bestseller a few times. It's been a fun ride, but I'm no different than anyone. I just got outside of my excuses and I did the scary shit, right? I got over myself and continued to move on. But everybody views people as like something different and they're not. We're all the same. Just some people chose to get out of the box. Other people are heading straight for the pillar. That's the truth. They've got cruise control on. They've got that country song on. They're at 100 miles per hour and they're ready to just let go of the wheel, leave it to chance. A lot of my audience, some of the conversations that we've had, the resistance I get, people say, I just didn't feel motivated. I don't feel motivated. So I want to know, Richard, with your expertise, what your opinion on motivation is.
Well, I love this because my friend Ed Milet just did an amazing post yesterday talking about how motivation is only going to get you so far. But discipline will get you through the days that you're not motivated. Like, I did 8 interviews yesterday.
Damn.
Hour and a half long, all day long. So I wasn't motivated in the morning, but after a couple primes I was. But like I said, I've had over 1,100 interviews. So you have to do the things that you don't want to do sometimes, and you're not going to be motivated. You know, it may be raining out. And you got to take out the garbage. You're not motivated, but you still take the garbage out And for me, that happened to me a while ago. I was taking the garbage out. I was mad, pissed off, kicking a garbage can. It was raining and cold. And then I looked back at my house and I thought, 3 miles away, I was living in a crack house, eating out of garbage cans. Here I am taking the garbage out of my own house. And so once you change the mindset to I have to I get to, that's when your life changes. So guys, you may not always, you know, be motivated, but you can always be disciplined.
Yeah. I love that. And you've got to decide, like you have to decide what the end goal is, right? Like why would you want to be disciplined? Well, you take the trash out because you don't want your house smelling like shit. You know, same thing of me cleaning cat boxes. I don't want the house to smell like shit. I'm going to do it. I'm never like, oh, I'm going to go clean cat shit. Never. But I know I don't want the house to smell. You know, so I do
that
it.
That even goes for relationships. Like I love my bride. She's my best friend. I piss her off all the time and it's vice versa. But I know when I go to bed every night, I'm going to wrap my arms around my wife, even though she's sleeping. I'm going to pray for my wife.
Yeah.
I'm going to pray for her happiness. I'm going to pray for her health. And I'm going to pray that she knows that I love her for the rest of my days. So whether I'm mad, whether she's mad, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. I have the discipline to know I love that woman. And I think if you guys are watching this, I'm going to give you a tip that a lot of people don't even know that love is not an emotion. You know, love is not an emotion, guys. Love is something that you will promise to take care of somebody, love them and care for them. So it's not an emotion. It's a commitment. And for you guys, if you guys are listening, listen to this. I had lunch with a pastor and he told me, if you don't date your wife, another man will.
Oh yeah.
So guys, make sure you're dating your wife. Make sure she gets flowers just because it's Tuesday. Make sure you're doing that because a happy spouse is a happy house.
Exactly. I love that. Are you guys taking notes? Honey, are you listening to this episode? I don't care about the flowers, but I need a break out of this house. Yeah. So this is my favorite question to ask people. And then I want you to, I guess, leave the audience with, you know, your best wisdom. But if you had all the money in the world, all your bills were paid, you had anything you wanted, everything you wanted, all there, set, never had to worry about a thing, what would you be doing with your time?
Exactly what I'm doing right now.
Hell yeah.
I would just have a bigger studio. I would have a bigger staff. I'm doing what I love to do. For me, and this is going to go back to the last question you're going to ask, is when I had that meeting with Gary and I said, Gary, give me something that I can take away, a golden nugget that I can use for the rest of my life. And he said, your legacy will always be more valuable than your currency.
Ooh.
So for me, it's not about money. Because guys, I don't care who you are. We all come in on a steel gurney. We're all leaving on a steel gurney.
Yeah.
So that's the way it is. Sorry, guys, to burst your bubble. But enjoy what you have. I mean, money's great. I like to do things. I'm going on a cruise.
Yeah.
But it's if you help enough people get what they want, you can have whatever you want.
Yeah.
So, and that's what I believe. So I would just have bigger staff. I'd be promoting more on Spotify, iTunes, YouTube, but I'd be doing exactly what I'm doing now. Maybe on an island where I could just sit on the beach and do this on a Zoom, but I'd still be doing, because I get to meet people and I get to come into people's homes and let them know, hey, it's okay not to be okay. So I'm living my dream.
That's awesome. And I don't think there's a better answer than that. That's the purest answer. And most of the time, honest. And I love that. I love that I draw people into my containers that are doing the things they love, because that makes you more relatable to the people that are listening. You know, they don't think that it's just bullshit. You have to say this because you're making a buck. And these bitches know I'm not getting paid for this podcast. So they know that there's no, we're just here. We're here because we love it. We're here because we care. And we're here because you matter. Like, your life matters. So no matter how low you're feeling today, I just feel like, let the sun come up. Let the sun come up tomorrow. Reevaluate, rethink, take the cruise control off and grab the steering wheel. We can't just leave our lives to chance. You've got to take massive responsibility. You have to own your shit. And if you want to be lucky, you have to present yourself when the opportunities come. And I promise they do. It may not be in the form of a cop giving you ultimatum. Yeah, go ahead.
But something I had to come to the realization is, because me and Gary, we put a 5-year plan together where I didn't monetize my show at all for 5 years. And nice. That was a plan that me and Gary said, hey, I don't want you monetizing until you have something to monetize. We've got 20 paying sponsors. We got t-shirts. We got hats. We got speaking events. But the reason why now is because I realize I can't pay for that homeless man's dinner if I don't have money in my pocket.
Right.
I can't pour from an empty cup. Yeah. And a lot of people start podcasts, quit, because number one, it takes a long time. Oh. Number two, you may not be getting listeners. And number three, you're paying for Zoom. You're paying for this. You're paying for that. So the average podcast lasts 12 episodes. That's it.
Yeah.
So if I realize at a point, if I'm not making money, if my cup's not overflowing, I can't help the homeless.
Right.
So guys, if you're out there and you're like, well, I'm doing this because I love it. Yeah. Well, how about doing it so you can help somebody else down the road?
You guys need you to pay me on Cash App and make sure it's $8 so I can buy someone else a cup of tea as well. Okay. Okay.
There you go.
No, I appreciate you so much. Thanks for coming on. I feel like we're going to have to meet back on the podcast, sometime down the road. And
How about this? I'm going to give you an open invitation right now. I'm going to send you the link and I want you to come on my show.
Oh, I'm there for sure.
Sounds good. Now, guys, if you're watching this, make sure that you subscribe, share, and leave a written review on iTunes, because every written review is equal to 10 5-star reviews. So make sure you leave a written review, because she's doing all this hard work for free. She's doing it to provide value. So just do that for this young lady, please.
And it's not for free, you guys. This costs me. It does cost me. It costs me all the things. I'm paying for a lot of things to keep this functioning, and my time. I've kicked my kids out of the office like 4 times with my finger, like, get out. It's costing time. So it does matter to me. Those reviews are the price, the pay to play. Make sure you share it with a friend, subscribe so you don't miss an episode. And I appreciate it. I appreciate, Richard, that you understand what it's like. I'm excited to have a podcast guru to follow.
I'm not a guru. I am the worst.
I'm excited.
I'm going to tell you a story. But whenever you get a chance, I'm going to tell you a story about how I'm the worst podcaster ever.
I don't think you could top me now. I bring Richard on here and I'm like, listen, this is a one and done. We don't edit. First of all, I don't know how, and I don't care to learn. So it's a one and done. It could be messy. Are you comfortable with that? And that's it. It's just raw.
But how about this? My first podcast, I had 300 episodes recorded and released until I realized it was never even on Apple.
Oh, nice.
And when I went to go put it on, they said, hell no. So I had to start all over again from zero. That's 300 recorded episodes. That's bad.
So. I've sat here and I've thought I recorded a whole episode, one episode, and realized I didn't hit record and I wanted to be done. So I couldn't imagine 300. I'd probably not be here. So that's resilience, you guys.
The worst podcaster ever.
Yeah. I'll agree with that right now at this moment. I haven't met anybody that has a story worse than that. So if you guys have never done a podcast, I don't think you could understand. That is beyond resilience. That is insane that he kept going after that. 300 episodes. I'd burn the house down. I'd get in the truck, bro. I don't know. I think I'd get in the truck. I'd be so pissed. But okay, you guys, thank you so much for tuning in. I love you, and I will see you tomorrow.